jumping back here, brothers and sisters.
I had one brother, Birch Mayo, who died this year at age 90.
What was his profession?
He came into the hotel business, but he loved music. He was the president or
co-founder.
Co-founder of the Tulsa Symphony. He and Herb Gusman. He was president of that for 24 years before he retired from that. And he sang. He loved to sing. I would say that in the hotel business, he enjoyed more being in the front of the house instead of the bowels of it.
Didn't he want to be an opera singer?
Yes, he did. And he studied it some in Europe, and he studied after the war. He was on General Patton's staff during the war.
Your brother?
Yes.
What did he do for General Patton?
He went ahead and established residences for him. And he also was a liaison with the news press.
He was great fun.
He could imitate Churchill, and you would think you were hearing Churchill. He could imitate Roosevelt, and he had lots of people whom he could imitate, and he did it beautifully, and he had the lore to do it. And as I said, had this wonderful voice.
Did he sing often in Tulsa at various events?
At that time, the Central High School was still the Central High School, and they had an opera there. The auditorium was just about large enough to handle the crowd that was there. He was in Tosca. He had a baritone voice. My son called him Lawrence Tibbett. He sounded just like Lawrence Tibbett. Birch was at Cornell, graduated from Cornell. And Mrs. Roosevelt was coming up to Cornell for a weekend, and they had asked him to escort her. So he mimicked her husband. In fact, my father couldn't quite understand why bills were coming from Cornell for pince-nez glasses and a, I don't know, frock coat or something like that. Daddy said that has nothing to do with an education. I had just a stipend of an allowance, and he was spending rather extravagantly. It made him wonder about just how does this balance out.
Spell his first name.
B-U-R-C-H. It was John Birch Mayo. B-U-R-C-H.
Birch, so that was his middle name.
Birch was my grandmother Mayo's maiden name.
So Birch, did he attend the same schools you did from elementary and Holland Hall?
No, he went to Casha Hall and then to Cornell.
About the hotel, which was built in 1925. Mm-hmm. What is your earliest remembrance of the hotel and what age?
Actually, I should say that I remembered it before, and I'm sure that I did. I would visit it, but not with much excitement. It wasn't just thrilling me. It was a structure. So the remembrance really came on the formal dedication. At that time, when the picture was taken, they used these flashlights, you know, they boom. Scared me to death, and I hid behind my parents, and that's when Mother said, "We'll certainly have a good picture of you."
You would have been 9 years old.
I was 9 years old.
Do you remember the construction at all of the building?
I do not. And then, of course, they were adding five more stories onto the Mayo building, and fire broke out on that when tar was spilled. And Daddy was called from the table one night, and scared me to death. You know, fire was fire, and it just terrified. And he ran, you might say, living at 14th and Cheyenne. He ran down to 5th and Cheyenne. It was extinguished, and there was no permanent harm done. The time of the construction of the hotel was after the First World War. There was a lot of steel that was not required for construction, so they were able to get a lot of the steel that had been shipped into New Orleans and use that for the construction, the foundation. So it's well-founded.
So John and Cass made quite a bit of money then.
Yes, they did.
From the furniture store.
Yes, and real estate, little by little, different kinds of things. And then, of course, they borrowed heavily when they built the hotel. I think they were pressured by saying, we need a good hotel here in Tulsa. We need a good hotel. They could identify with that. We had the Tulsa Hotel then, but there seemed to be a need to have another hotel. I know Daddy went up to the Plaza Hotel in New York and liked it so very much. So a lot was modeled after that or suggested by that.
You said the hotel Tulsa, the Adams Hotel, would that have been around at that time?
The Adams Hotel was here. It was a smaller hotel. There was two, the Adams and Bliss Hotel.
The Bliss Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
When they had thoughts of the Mayo, it must have been at a higher scale and standard.
It definitely was, I'd say. Definitely so.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It was the best.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Was it difficult during the Depression? Because they just opened 5 years before.
Oh, it certainly was. They were going to go into bankruptcy.
Did you move in and live then at 9 years old?
No. I never lived at the hotel during that period, except when maybe at home they were painting the house or doing something, and we would go down and stay for a week or whatever was necessary. But I never lived there. And the only other time that I lived there was during the war, when my husband was gone, when Don was gone. I stayed there when I could not join him. But my parents lived there. When they sold the hotel, it was with the understanding that they could live there if they desired until their death, which they did.
Where did they live in the hotel?
On the 15th floor. They had a very lovely suite there on the southwest corner.
And the Chapmans lived there?
The Chapmans lived there. They lived on the 5th floor.
Which Chapmans?
James. James Chapman.
And his wife?
Lita McFarlane Chapman.
Wonderful people. Of course, Mr. Chapman was a very private person. I saw him one day, and we get into his car. Puny was his driver and caretaker, and Puny was huge.
I remember Puny. He was a nice man.
He was a nice man. He would drive him up to the ranch, is where he loved his life.
The Kravises lived there for a while, Bessie and Ray Kravis.
Yes, they did. And the Phillips did briefly. When they were building their house, they mainly lived at the top of the Philcade.
Mm-hmm. Wade Phillips.
Wade Phillips.
Mm-hmm. And his wife.
Genevieve.
Mm-hmm. Your father and your uncle Cass, did they actually operate the hotel?
My father never had any intention of being the man. It had been planned that they would employ someone to do it, which they did in the beginning. But this did not prove to be satisfactory. So it became necessary, this is the way my father seemed to interpret it, that he take over there, which he did. Now, my uncle Cass never functioned there in that capacity at all. He remained at the mail building or the petroleum building, managing that and taking care of other things.
So the mail building was built, obviously, before.
Before. Mm-hmm.
So that would have gone back into
about when? I don't have the years on that. The mail building was the headquarters for the Shell Oil was there. And there were a lot of the major companies that were here in Tulsa at that time.
And, of course, it was catty-corner from Harry Sinclair's building.
Harry Sinclair's, yes, exactly.
Which still stands.
Mm-hmm. And the Mid-Continent building.
Yes, McFarland building across
the street. McFarland building,
still
yes.
There.
Just a lot of the major oil companies that were stationed here. Standard of Indiana, Stanlin.
The architect of the hotel, George Winkler.
From Kansas City.
Wouldn't have known anything about him. You were too young to have known that. It was, at one time, the tallest building in Oklahoma?
Very definitely. Mm-hmm. 18 floors.
600 rooms?
600 rooms. Mm-hmm. Someone said, this house has only 2-bedroom suites. And I said, because I have 600 rooms downtown, guest rooms.
You didn't live there during your growing up?
I lived there, as I said, just during
the... Yeah, but in your growing up years...
Oh, I was there a lot.
And must have thrown your own parties for your friends.
Yes.
I can't imagine how wonderful it must have been, particularly at Holland Hall. Can you tell us about some of the parties you might have thrown?
Well, I'm thinking mainly about parties at Christmas time when there would be dances in the Crystal Ballroom. That was very elegant and lovely and exciting. Of course, it was considered expensive to do this with the boys on their their allowance or whatever little bit they were making at that time. But, of course, the price was right. My husband and his father and a lot of the men used to go to coffee at the coffee shop. They did it as a ritual, you know, the 10 o'clock coffee break. There would be Dan Davison and that group of men that enjoyed one another so much. Finally, they raised the price of the coffee. Well, there was a loud complaint. The price was going to go up to 20 cents. And they screamed and hollered about it. And Daddy said, if you're going to be like that, we'll go back to the regular price. Just to keep you quiet.
Marjorie, on top of the roof of the penthouse, there's an old structure.
There's a whole structure up there that was planned. My parents were going to have a penthouse there and build a pool. They thought they might do that. Lewis Perry was going to plan it for them.
Who was a decorator here in Tulsa?
Decorator. But they changed their minds. Then when Don and I came back from service, we rented on 38th Street, which had been a log cabin.
Where Oral Roberts eventually built.
He bought it from my father.
Okay.
During this interim, while we were buying the lot and building his house, he had this little boy, and we lived there for several years, very happy, wonderful years. And my parents had visualized using that as sort of a country place, the other place from the
38th
hotel.
38th and Lewis.
38th and Lewis. Of course, by then, Tulsa's a sizable city. But at any rate, to them, it had the 5 acres, and it was very appealing. And they'd come out while we were there, but they decided not to stay out there and convert for their own comfort.
Did anyone ever live in that? It looks like a house on top of the hotel.
No, that you're seeing is the mechanics, the electrical.
Okay.
It's encased. The apartment per se, you'll see it because it's going to be a bar. Actually, I think a couple of business parties have been held there. But I don't know that it's going to be for residents.